Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Jens Morten Skibsted. Jens Morten Skibsted is a Danish designer, entrepreneur, and author. He is the co-author of Expand, Stretching the Future by Design. He is a partner at ManyOne and has founded or co-founded companies such as Biomega, Skibsted Ideation, Actix, Kibisi, and Ogoji. Well, good afternoon, Jens. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Awesome to be here today to meet with somebody. Again, we talked a little bit before we hit the record button, but essentially I traverse the world. I've traveled to 40 countries. And today I get to speak to an esteemed guest, Jens, and you're hailing out of the great country of Denmark. So I appreciate you jumping on and making the time at these crazy hours sometimes you have to do when you're doing podcasting around the world. So thank you. Jens, you've got quite the career as an advisor, board member, serial entrepreneur, and now the global partner, vice president, mobility, and foresight of ManyOne. Could you share with our audience the secret to your career growth and what inspires you?
So I think what inspires me the most are possibilities, right? That I can sometimes, when you see a possibility that has not been harvested or hasn't been pursued or isn't really visible, that's the part that really gets me interested. And so I did start studying philosophy, so that kind of opened my mind pretty much, which is also what the book Expand is about, like how you need to expand the way you look at the world, look at this problems in face in front of you.
Thank you. And, you know, that leads us into that next question. I wanted to talk a little bit more about what led you and your co-author Christian Basin to write your book Expand, Stretching the Future by Design. Maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so actually, initially, we wanted to write something about the perspective of Danish design. We're both working at a fairly high level with governmental institutions and some of the biggest companies within design in Denmark. And we thought now we're going to do kind of the quintessential design book and state of the art, et cetera. And then we just realized maybe the rest of the world isn't that interested in our little country. But so we thought, how could we use some of the methodologies we see in our societies within the industry here could be applied to other cultures, to other type of businesses, you know, et cetera. And having that new perspective, we looked at, so why not just continue as is? Why don't we just apply the normal design thinking methodology, which a lot of businesses already know about and already utilize today, and also a method that a lot of companies are very well aware can create a lot of extra value, also just in terms of bottom line. And our conclusion was that we need to move on from there. Not that you cannot use design thinking anymore, but you just got to expand from there. And so there are certain challenges that design thinking can't really meet well today. So one is the increased speed. So I think a lot of people will have this perception that things just go faster. You know, not long ago, we were happy if we got a color TV, and now then the mobile phone, and, you know, things are just accelerated at a complete different pace. And so we got to deal with that. And you know, because the expectations are there, then people want the thing, whatever it is, faster. And so that speed ends up meaning that people want to basically have a product instantly. And at the same time, they want something that can last very long. So we look into a future of global warming, and we know things are going to happen, but we know it's not now. So we got to anticipate. So in a way, they're both part of this going fast, right? So fast means you want to have things fast, but it also means that we're going to be in the future faster. So you have this big challenge that you need to do two things at the same time that are very different, to move very fast and look very far away. So that's one challenge. We try to see how can we address that. And the other one is some of these challenges that we're in are man-made. So global warming, I think most will believe it is man-made. And, you know, whether it's ecosystems dying out, whether it's a nuclear threat, whichever major challenges we face are man-made. And the center of design thinking is that it's human-centered. It's centered around the user, around the human. So if we're the ones creating havoc, how can we create a method that just that does not necessarily perpetuate those problems? So I think that's basically the initial standpoint we had or outlook.
Thank you. I appreciate you sharing. And it's always interesting to see people come together, collaborate, or in your case, write a book. So I appreciate the share and giving us a little bit of insight to that. Jens, what are the challenges with innovation and technology today? What's missing?
So I don't think you can pinpoint a specific technology that's missing. I think what's missing is that we've somehow come to believe that things are going to progress in a linear way, that what we see coming out of Silicon Valley is what basically is going to happen. And so you have, so Silicon Valley is perceived globally as the hotbed, the center of innovation. Yet if you look at what's coming out of, you know, the thoughts around Silicon Valley are pretty much that we're governed by a lot of laws, right? So you have Moore's Law is probably the most known law, but you have like a whole list of laws, Comey's laws, even the Gates have a law. And so there's this paradox that the place where you need to be, where you're perceived as being the most innovative, actually you are very deterministic. You think things are happening because they're supposed to happen and they're going to happen in a specific pace, in a specific way. And so that's very limiting to innovation. You just have to have other perspectives. And the Silicon Valley approach also has a specific set of values that I'm not going to say if they're wrong or right, but at least they're very specific. And as you know, probably a lot of us will recognize that values are cultural specific. So those values will not be shared across the world. So it is not ideal for, let's say, Rwanda or Scandinavia or whichever place to innovate in the same way with the same vision. So I think that to broaden up that scope is very important. And today, multipolar is seen as a negative thing because people imagine it means now the Russians and the Chinese are going to take over. But multipolar just means different perspectives. And when it comes to technology, we need to have as many perspectives as we can have, as many directions, as many possibilities. And before we accept that that's going to come from many different places, we're going to be limited.
Thank you. Appreciate, again, your perspective. You've got a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge and background in this area, and this is helpful. And again, we are really a global economy, a global place where things are constantly shifting, and whether it's geopolitical, whether it's technology, whether it's, you know, like you said previously, you know, a crisis like a nuclear war. There's so many things that we have to adapt to. So again, appreciate your perspective. And Jens, last question for you today. Digital transformation is important, but why is it important that the technology serves the people and not just the interest of the company?
So what we've seen with some very successful and very large tech companies is that that they've impacted society in ways that people do not necessarily benefit from. So there's a host of different examples. You know, Facebook is often mentioned, but But you know, many of the social media have the tendency to pull people in, to polarize. That could be an example, or let's say Uber comes in a place where you have a well-functioning public transportation system, and then all of a sudden you see that erode. So of course, I don't think any of these tech companies have had any evil intention, right? I just think sometimes you don't foresee the effects. And end of the day, humanity or societies or people are not going to be happy just by companies or shareholders making more money. It's not, you know, of course, it's good for prosperity as such, but there are many other things you would want, right? You would not, there are many things I think each of us would not sacrifice just to get more money.
And that's a great perspective. You know, there's you know, everything comes with a double-edged sword as far as, you know, how we manage. You know, capitalism can be one of the greatest things, but there are some downsides to it, obviously. But those are the types of things that we need to obviously be self-aware and try to make it better with what we have today. So Jens, I appreciate your time today. It was such a pleasure, and I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Bye for now.